Live from San Siro Stadium in Milan, Italy, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, the longtime legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and a talented chef capable of making homemade ravioli, Richard J. Ringhausen. And are you ready? Stop it! Marksman, sculptor, whippersnapper, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who has sledded down the most dangerous hills in Jersey County, Illinois. The youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Great to be here.
Do you ever hear the song "Mess Around" without thinking of John Candy?
Strange and normal business. That's what I was doing here on the counter. I just wish I had a cigarette in my mouth and that I weighed 200 pounds more than I do right now.
You're getting there.
Yeah. All right. That is a great scene.
You're talking about planes, trains, and automobiles.
And he's driving down the highway, smoking a cigarette, just enjoying himself.
Playing air Ray piano Charles. To mess around.
Ray Charles mess around.
Yeah. Ray Charles. And he was actually the radio announcer, wasn't he? Wasn't that John Candy doing the radio voiceover on that?
Oh, probably.
I think so, too.
Because he does a radio announcer also in Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, yeah, he does. That's right.
What are you doing with that machine gun?
What are you doing? Well, I'm here to kill you both.
Okay.
You know, it's used the word whippersnapper in the intro.
Yeah. I can snap a whip.
When's the last time
you crack a whip, man?
When's the last time you were called a whippersnapper?
It depends on where you're at. If I'm out at the farm, Dad might call me that.
Might be smarty. Whippersnapper.
Hey, young whippersnapper.
Is it an insult? Anyway, that's my question.
Anyway, never.
Do you remember, I'm not going to use names or anything, but there was one.
The incident on the school bus?
The incident on the school bus.
I knew where this was going.
Smarty,
when you said smarty.
That was
his biggest insult.
I got into some argument with a kid on the bus to the extent that he got thrown off the bus, and then the kid's father came to our house to essentially talk to my dad, I guess, about having me killed or punished or something or other. Dad wasn't home and at the time when the guy came, you know, and he called me a smarty. Hmm. You smarty.
Yes, I am.
I just...
Well, thank you.
Was that supposed to be an insult? I kind of took it as a compliment.
I think he was substituting smarty for smart at.
Yeah, okay. Probably so.
Yeah, I think that.
And he was careful.
Pretty
not,
safe assumption.
And he was careful not to swear in front of a child,
innocent young lad like you. Yeah. The stadium. What was the stadium?
San Sime. It's the it's where the opening ceremonies of the Olympics are.
You know, there are people that have like this bucket list of going to every baseball stadium in America, you know, Major League Baseball stadium.
Considering that half of them look exactly the same, I'm not sure what the point of that is.
Every NFL stadium, you know, and, you know, they make a checklist of it. And I think part of it is, you know, it gives them a destination to keep going to different places.
And it gives you a reason to live when otherwise they wouldn't have one.
Yeah, they're dull and boring lives. But, yeah, I've never found any real fascination with going to a major stadium. I was looking forward to seeing the Colosseum in Rome.
That was cool.
And I was a little disappointed to find out that only like 30% of it is the
original. A lot of it.
It was originally stacked.
A lot of rebuilding took place.
Right. And you know, some of it, you know, like took place 500 years ago. Some emperor decided that he was going to rebuild.
Do you know that there were still a lot of statues in it up until the 1930s when Mussolini
confiscated them all, put them in his house?
Yeah. You have some...
The other half of them are in Mar-a-Lago.
Didn't you have some tour guide that was talking to you about Mussolini when you're in Italy?
Yeah, what was he saying?
He crossed a bridge. Something about a bridge.
Yeah, it was built by Mussolini. Yeah. It's a very good bridge. He was a bad man, but it's a very good bridge.
Bad man.
Yeah.
Guy
put it in simple terms. And then we're driving by a stadium, and he says, there's such and such stadium. I said, is that where they play soccer? And I thought he's going to run off the road. Soccer. It's football. You Americans don't know. You don't know football.
Oh, I know.
He got really upset.
I know.
And Sarah's young, of course, elbowed me. Shut up.
You have to fight your way all the way across Italy, and left your sword at home.
That's right. I didn't have my nice Columbus sword to help me on my way. Okay, so I was recently at a major stadium. I went to the Rose Bowl in California.
Yeah.
And, I didn't really know much about the Rose Bowl, but since I went there...
You said there was like a big flea market there.
It's the biggest flea market on the West Coast of America, which was fascinating and great. But the Rose Bowl is over 100 years old. Did you know that?
Time for a new one.
Just tear it down. Put something nice up there.
That stadium that...
It's still one of the 10 biggest stadiums in America.
The stadium where the Bears play in Chicago is like one of the oldest, biggest ones.
They modified the hell out of it, though.
And they're wanting to move to Indiana.
Okay, whatever. Whatever.
Bears got beat, so I'm live and die a happy man.
Yeah, I guess you and Brad aren't having your big get-together where you can yell at each other and whose team's going to win and blah, 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 blah,
Brad's a big follower of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I was going to say some unfathomable reason.
It's because his wife is from there and she dominates him.
Okay. Now, I, on the other hand, was backing the New England Patriots.
Because she's from there and she dominates you.
My wife is from Boston. You know, it's interesting that you put it in that perspective because I hadn't considered it that way until now.
Odd, isn't it?
But we were going to have like a big stare down at if the Bills got to play the Patriots in the thing.
And what were you going to do?
It didn't work out that way.
You going to go to some bar or something?
Yeah, we were going to go down to the bar in St. Louis and scowl.
Because you'd be the only two there that were rooting for either one of those teams.
Oh, Brad says there's like a following of the Bills down there.
He had to seek them out.
Yeah. And I guess give them money. Probably Brad says, buying beer for everybody that's a Bills fan.
You got to be careful about, what team you're rooting for in certain venues. You know what I'm saying? Years ago.
Right, but St. Louis doesn't have either one of those two teams.
Right. Years ago, I went to this convention in Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
And it was the year that the Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers were in the World Series.
Jesus, that's 1982.
No. It's more recent than that.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, look it up.
All right, maybe you're right. You might be right.
It's been in my lifetime.
Okay. Well, 82 is in your lifetime.
Yeah, but I wasn't doing what I'm doing in 82. I was doing something else. No.
Go ahead.
Anyway, we're up there.
I'm sure it's a lie anyway.
And one of my board of directors from the organization I work for was up there also. And we were going to these, sessions at this convention, kind of all day long. But he had his wife there, and she's a huge Cardinal fan. And so we come out of the convention, and she says, I already got us a table. It's such and such bar. It's located at, wherever. And so we get in there, and...
Wearing your Cardinal regalia?
No, I wasn't. But she was, and she was primed to where she was ready to cheer on the Cardinals in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And we were at a table of red in a sea of blue.
Ah.
And the Cardinals were losing.
Well, then everything was okay.
They were losing, and there's the bars all cheering going on, and... And then the Cardinals start coming back. And, but the Blues are the Blue fans, the Brewers fans are still cheering on. And then the Cardinals take the win. And then the Cardinals, they took the lead and then they won the game. And we're all... And we're in like the back of the bar, and we're going to have to get to the front door to get out. And my board member's wife is like, woohoo, in your face! You know, like yelling at all the people around us. You know, I'm the smallest person in here.
That reminds me. For what you just described something that reminded me of an incident from our youth.
Okay.
Do you remember playing trivia in,
I know
in,
you're doing
in Root House?
I just told this story like a week ago.
On the radio or in the podcast. I don't remember that.
I didn't tell it on the podcast. I was telling it to an individual. I can't remember who I was telling that
to. Well, tell the Root House story.
We had our trivia team. It was me, you, Dennis, Brad, Larry Klunk, the late Greg Ringhausen.
Nate Postaway,
and probably Dave.
No, it was Glenn Payton.
Oh, Glenn Payton.
Payton from Calgary.
Former
he was our sport. He was our sports ringer.
He was our sports guy.
And that trivia team, it was our A team.
Yeah.
We would take the A team and win. I don't remember ever losing.
Well, we lost down at the Science Center.
Science Center because we got ripped off.
You got a mess here, Rick.
I see that. Alan just spilled whoppers all over everything.
Turn the heat up. They'll go away.
Where's the dog when you need her?
Really. Anyway.
So we take the A team to Root House.
I think we were actually in Greenfield.
And we were, I think you're right. It was Greenfield.
Yeah.
And we're, but we would take the, we would see trivia contest, wherever it was around this local area. We'd call the A team up and we'd go win the trivia contest.
Yeah. So anyway.
Because the brothers had trained for years laying on the couch watching TV.
That was a big help.
And sitting in bars.
So we go to Greenfield, and we're doing great.
Just smoking it.
We're way out ahead. And then they come to like the...
Category 10.
There's 10 different categories and 10 questions in each category. And we get to the final category, and it's all Greenfield-related questions. I don't know if it was all history or whatever it was.
It was like the Greenfield High School.
Whatever's happening.
Whatever's in Greenfield.
And
none of us were from Greenfield or knew anything about Greenfield. So it was totally designed to give an edge to anyone from Greenfield and to screw anybody that wasn't.
And I think we got 10 out of 10 on our Greenfield question somehow.
No, we lost. What happened?
We were far enough ahead that
we were far enough ahead. We didn't get any points on Category 10.
And won anyway.
But we were far enough ahead that we won anyway. But all through Category 10, every time they would ask one of those Greenfield questions, now you got to remember they were drinking all night. Not me or you. We weren't drinking. But the rest of the team had been drinking all night. And by the time we got to Category 10...
They were vocal.
Oh, my God. Every question, they were hooting and, like, pounding the table and, you know, making a commotion to where we were told to be quiet and they wouldn't, you know. And you know, it's just a game, guys. You know, you're far enough ahead that you're going to win anyway. I mean, they knew it because we were. And they're just, I mean, it was unhappy.
But what was a real kicker, I mean,
We won.
We also won the door prize.
Yeah.
And we won the 50-50 drawing. We walked out of there with everything.
And, you know, usually the way that works is you win those things and they expect you to donate the money back because it's always for a charitable cause.
Yeah.
You know, and we had decided a long time ago that when we did those things, we would give half the money back. So it would cover the boys' drinking expenses, you know, when you want them. And that night.
And our entry fee.
Yeah. And that night, we didn't. I mean, everyone was in a bad mood, and the last question came, and they handed out the money, and we, like, skated out the door immediately before they got the pitchforks and the tar and feathers.
Yeah. We had to, it was like that episode from Animal House when they were leaving the bar.
Oh, yeah.
I think you should be leaving.
What a great idea. So yeah, your trip to Wisconsin was like that.
Nah, I don't remember anything like that in Wisconsin.
You know, I just mentioned something and I got to think about it. Tar and feathering. You don't hear about tar and feathering. You know, they used to actually do that. Like during the Revolutionary War, you know, the Tories, the Loyalists, the American rebels would tar and feather people who were on the other side. Do you know what tar and feather actually consists of?
Tar and, let's see, feathers?
No, it's more than just tar. I mean, it's like boiling tar, where they strip you and they're going to dump boiling tar directly on your skin and then feather you.
Do you get a purple apple for that?
Can you imagine? And what I was thinking was,
who was ever tarred and feathered?
There were a bunch of people tarred and
name
feathered.
Name one.
I can't name one. The
it didn't ever happen.
The royal governor of Boston, of the Massachusetts colony, was tarred and feathered. For real.
Was that after the big molasses explosion?
No, that was way before the big molasses explosion. But, you know, tarred and feathered. Man, you know. What I was thinking about it, though, is that, you know, that's the sort of thing it takes a mob to do. Mob mentality. The mob. You know, it's not.
Yeah, see, I can see where, you know, like a mob would hang somebody.
Yeah.
You know, because, well, there's a rope. We've got a rope. We'll hang him up. And that can happen pretty quickly.
But tar and feathers.
You got to get tar boiling. You know, that takes a lot of preparation.
You get the feel.
Everybody had a feather pillow at the time.
Yeah, you get feathers pretty easy.
But it's going to take a cauldron, plus you're going to get some tar mix. Where do you even get that?
Back then, they had tar. It wasn't a big deal to get tar.
Hey. What were they using tar? Pitching boats?
Boats, yeah.
On the outside of the boat?
Yeah, you'd have tar back then. You know, it was just a resin.
Sorry, fire that.
Got from pine trees.
Fire that cauldron of tar back up.
What I'm saying is, when the mob's assembling, you know, you put out the call, we're going to go to the governor's house and teach him a lesson. And someone out there is, like you said, doing prep work. I'll get the tar ready. You come with a bucket of hot tar to the gathering.
Now, but see, apparently, if they had knights back in that day, they could have defended the governor.
You know, they didn't have enough British soldiers to defend the governor, but they literally kicked in the door of his house and took every piece of furniture out of the house too. Stole it all.
Well, they used it to burn that to get the tar hot,
I guess. He put in claims with the British government for like the next.
Oh, he lived through it.
Oh yeah, no, they didn't kill him. It was just a humbling experience. He resigned
that night. I'll quit. Yeah. I'll quit. Don't pour tar on me.
I think that's probably exactly the way that discussion came down.
Yeah, and yet he wanted his furniture back.
Oh yeah, he thought the state should reimburse him for the furniture that the mob took. And then, of course, things turned out badly for the British, so now he had to ask Parliament to reimburse him. Because he was a royal governor at the time.
Oh, that's he was British, by okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they were all British, technically.
True. But what were the Native Americans considered at that point in time?
Trouble.
Okay.
they split up, half of them back to English and half of them back to Americans. They kind of put their finger in the wind, saw which way it was blowing, and backed the winner or tried to.
Yeah. I thought they were just, it was the French and British that they were backing back and forth. I just want to talk about these stadiums.
Oh, okay. Go ahead with your stadium story.
So anyway, I found out it was one of the 10 biggest stadiums still. The Rose Bowl, still one of the 10 biggest stadiums remaining in the United States of America.
Okay. So you got a list of them?
I do. Well, actually, the biggest stadiums in the world are not in the United States.
What? The football stadiums in the other countries that you talk about. Yeah, that's a huge big deal. I mean, considering they only have, every 4 years, the World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, they have giant stadiums built that they only play like 4 or 5 games a year in.
The largest stadium in the world is in what country?
I'd say Brazil. I'd say São Paulo, Brazil.
It's in India.
Really? Well, I can see that.
And they do not play soccer.
Is that where they like throw the bodies out and let the buzzards eat them?
No, you've been watching Gladiator, the movie. No, they play cricket.
Oh, and that's a big draw, is it?
I guess. They got a stadium that'll hold 132,000 people
to watch
them play cricket.
If you read the Mark Twain book, Traveling the Equator, which was one of Twain's last last tour books. He went around the world. He stopped in India and describes in his book, apparently true, this burial ritual where some Indian guy died. They take his carcass out to the middle of this like stadium and they lay it out and the buzzards clean it up. And then they take the bones that are left and throw them in the Ganges or whatever river it was.
The second largest stadium.
My question, let me go on before you go on. If you had that in America, would you be able to sell tickets?
I don't know. I
buzzards eating somebody?
That's just creepy.
All right. I know you had standards, but go ahead.
The second largest stadium is in North Korea, and they do play soccer there.
And have their parades where they march. And
yeah, military parades and stuff like that. The third largest stadium in the world is
Wembley. Oh, in the United States?
United States of America.
Cotton Bowl? Rose Bowl? The Coliseum in L.A.?
It is in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Michigan football team football stadium.
Wolverines?
Yep. It's holding 107,000 people.
That's a big stadium. They got that many college fans every year?
I guess. And then the next biggest one is in Pennsylvania.
Nittany Lions.
Yep. That football stadium will hold 106,000 people.
Let me tell you, they pack them in pretty tight, though. It's not seats, it's benches.
And then after that, it's Ohio, the Buckeyes. I got a stadium up there, 102,000 people.
You know, 100,000 people, that's a lot of people.
That's a hell of a bunch of people. The Texas A&M Aggies have a stadium that'll hold over 100,000
people. I'll bet you most of those stadiums were built when the United States population was probably about half of what it is now.
Right. LSU Tigers down in Baton Rouge. Am I saying that?
You did a nice job.
It'll hold 102,000 people. And then the Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, Tennessee, holds 100,000 people. Tennessee Volunteers.
Tennessee Volunteers holds 100,000? Yeah. I have to ask Judge Birch. Judge Birch is an incredible Tennessee Volunteer.
Says it holds 101,915 people. Well, that's pretty big. Alabama Crimson Tide.
Well, I can see that. They're crazy. They're insane down there about their football.
100,000 people. And then we go back. That was the top 10. And then we go, this is a place.
And those are worldwide stadium numbers, right?
Yeah, here's another stadium where they're playing cricket. It's got over 100,000 people. It's in Melbourne, Australia.
I wouldn't think there's 100,000 people that follow cricket in the world.
It just blows my mind. And then we drop down into the smaller stadiums that hold less than 100,000 people. You got one in Barcelona, one in Johannesburg.
When you're saying just under, I'm guessing they hold like 90,900.
Exactly.
Okay, my question. You're building a stadium, right? And you're bringing the plans to your board of directors.
Wembley Stadium comes in at 90,000.
Okay, let me go back.
At the Rose Bowl.
Let me go back to what I'm saying.
89,702, and that stadium's ancient.
Let me go back to what I'm saying. 90,900 people, and you're bringing the plans to your board of directors, building a new stadium. Aren't you going to sit there and say,
cram up. Make it
100,000. Why would you build a stadium that holds 90,950 people?
Less.
Put another 100 into it someplace. You can't put one more row in someplace to get 100,000?
Yeah. But some of those college stadiums are huge. How do they pay for that?
No. Me and Brad went to Notre Dame, and it was rocking. Notre Dame's probably not even on that list, but it seemed like it was huge.
Lambeau Field in Green Bay?
Yeah.
There's nothing out there except this giant stadium.
I'm pretty sure that the fans own that stadium, too.
Yeah, they probably do.
That's owned by the crazy people who live in Green Bay.
How many people was the Notre Dame holds 77,000?
Yeah, that's not that big of a deal.
It's pretty big. 77,000 people all in one place.
They go back to Lambeau Field up there in Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know, if you list the cities of America by population, what is Green Bay? Like the...
There's nobody there.
Like 50th at best? First off, how did they even get an NFL team? We need to research that. And how do they, I guess they keep it because they fill it every time. People are crazy about Green Bay
Packers.
They
are crazy up there.
Yeah.
The cheeseheads, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The I was watching the football games. There were two of them this last year that were on that Chicago played, and it was a snowy, cold day. And New England played, and it was a snowy, cold day.
The dome.
Wait, before you go on.
Okay.
Both of those places in the crowd showed guys standing there with no shirt on.
Oh, yeah, he's got one of those.
Back in the day, would you have been one of them?
No. Which of the Ringhausen brothers most likely to go to a sporting event without a shirt on?
Brad.
Yep.
And have the letter painted on his stomach.
Why do you have that on your chest? You know, for the team.
That would be Brad.
That would be Brad. America Center in St. Louis.
Yeah.
That thing holds 67,000 people.
And to no end.
And nobody uses it right now, right? What do they do down at the America Center? Don't they have like that?
Boat show. But, you know, they don't even hold that in the big part of the stadium.
No, that's in the convention center part of it.
It's next door to it.
Yeah. Isn't there some, like, indoor football team that plays in there? Who is that?
Yeah, there's like four of those teams left in America. Yeah. They just play the same games over and over, I think.
Right. Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't get that, and I don't get why they built a brand new soccer stadium, what, half a mile from
that? When they could have been using that.
When they could have found some use for it. You would think that the people that own the big stadium that aren't getting zero revenue from it would say, well, here's a way, you know, for half the cost it would have cost you to build that stadium, we'll rent this one to you for 100 years.
Okay. Out in California, in Orange County, California, there is, the reason I know about this is I've got a daughter that lives out there, and I don't know how it came up.
Well, sometimes she lives there. Isn't she in Thailand
right
now?
Things to see in Orange County, and one of them is a blimp hangar at the Tustin, California airfield. It's a decommissioned airfield. It's not an airfield at all anymore. But at one point in time, they had these giant hangars that they stored blimps in.
Yeah, the Navy had blimps.
During World War II, and they cruised up and down the coastline looking for submarines. And there's only one of them left now, and it's called the Tustin Hangar. There were two. The other one, that there were two of them there for a long time, and the other one burned down in like 2023, so just recently. But
insurance fire.
Each one of these hangars was capable of holding seven blimps in it.
That's a big hangar.
Right, and it was the largest roofed structure in America. And it's empty. Nobody's doing anything, or they don't know what to do with it. You know, it was decommissioned, and I think they shot a couple of movie scenes in it and stuff like that. They're just sitting vacant now.
What can you do with it?
Well, you can make it a football stadium inside of it.
Yeah, just put the bleachers up.
Yeah, just put up bleachers. You already got it ready to go. It's got a roof on it.
Just wouldn't be pretty, but you could paint it.
And I was asking my daughter, you know, she lives there in Orange County. I said, do you know about this Tustin air hangar? No, never heard of it. Never seen it. And so then,
did you go to it?
Later that day, we go to Costco. It's right across the street from Costco.
She went past it 100 times.
I said, that's it right there. Oh, yeah. That's a big building.
So did you go over and look in it?
But they won't let you in there.
Would that stop you normally?
No, it wouldn't. But
experience with you is you're the sort that would go up to a building that you don't know anything about and just kind of walk in and go, what are you guys doing here?
I love doing that. But at the time, I had my wife and daughter, and they were both wanting to go to Costco. That's like trying to hold back the tide. You can't do it. So anyway, I should just have them drop me off over at this
the big hangar and come
military
get
base. And then, you know, I'll either call you from jail or you can just pick me up.
Yeah.
You just walk in with authority.
Like when we went on that aircraft carrier.
Walked on an aircraft carrier. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Can I help you guys? We're just taking a look around.
Well, who are you to see?
How'd you get here? We walked up.
We just drove onto a naval base and waved at the guard as we drove in like we were the general's son.
Our uncle's a captain here.
We got more captains than we know what to do with. I don't carry no weight here. No, we didn't tell anyone. We just waved at the guard. And then sign said carriers. And we just drove there until we saw an aircraft carrier parked right at the edge of the ramp.
Walked on.
Like we owned like we were going on to look at our own boat. Yeah. Walked up on the deck. We're walking around the deck of an aircraft carrier.
Well, they say you hold a lot of hay.
I'm a lieutenant. What are you guys doing here?
Just taking a look around.
Well, who are you here to see? No one. Nobody. You can't be here.
Nobody said we couldn't.
Well, you have to leave. And it wasn't like they escorted us off. Yeah. He just said, you got to go. Yep. So after we were done looking around, we went down, got in the car, which was parked right at the edge of the ramp, drove back home.
The thing that should have been suspicious is that we were in a Pinto.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, we got to go.
At that time already.
Time to get back in the Pinto and go.
Okay, well, next week we'll talk about the Olympics.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Winter Olympics. All right. See you later from Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Jen's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Aunt Christian's Misfortune Cookies. If you don't want to know the answer, don't ask the question. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. Because there aren't any.